Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. Would you stand with me in the honor of reading God's word together this morning? And as we listen, the points are not real long this morning, but we come and look at, in connection with last Sunday morning's message, the most important principle in all of God's word for all of us, for each of us. If you look on with me, begin with verse 46, Matthew chapter 12. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, your mother and your brothers stand outside, desiring to speak with you. But notice the reply of Christ. He says, but he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And he stretched forth his hand toward the disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now listen to it in the Amplified Version. Jesus was still speaking to the people when behold, his mother and brother stood outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, "Listen, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you." But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward not only the 12 disciples, but all his adherents, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." And then this statement, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your revealed word to us. And we pray that this morning your word would come alive to our hearts, that we would become the people that you would have us to become by setting our very hearts upon your will. And how important this is, we just pray, Lord, that you bring deep conviction into our souls over this great principle and truth that you've given to us to live by. And we do ask it in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the single most important requirement or reality of being a Christian. It is a biblical principle, a biblical truth to live by, a principle, a law, a commandment, an admonition, if you will, to live by. It is to do the will of God. That is the heart of the disciple, to do the will of God. We looked at John chapter 7 and verse 17, and it says, Jesus began there in that verse, it says, if whoever desires to do his will. And so it is at the very heart and the very center of our being, of our faith, that it ought to be to do the will of God. So we ask ourselves the question, is God in the center of my life? And that verse in verse 17 in John chapter 7, the desire to please God. And what pleases God is to do His will. And this is a big subject and a big topic to look at it, so we can't exhaust it today for certain. But this is a principle of immense importance. And as we've said before, it's either the religion, what we say we do, what we say we believe, what we say we practice, or it is a relationship. The relationship is the will of God. Being in the will of God constitutes what a relationship with Christ really is. It's at the heart of the relationship with Him. It's either the power of God that's going on and working in our lives, or it's the power of man, our own power. Or it is the glory of God to do a thing, or it is for the glory of man. Do we do these things? People don't go to Mexico and do this work of ministry out in the heat and the things like that to come back and get the glory of saying, "I went on a Mexico mission trip." We praise God for everyone that goes for whatever reason they may. But if God's word is sown and the work and the will is done there, then God is able to overcome even our shortcomings and even our failures. But it is either a religion or a relationship, the power of God or the power of man. It's either the glory of God or the glory of man. But here is a very important way to apply when we start thinking about the will of God. And it is the wisdom to know the difference between those things. The wisdom to know the difference. That is the key. So there's three parts to this morning. The first is the imperative of doing God's will. We're not going to turn to all the passages that we could look at, but you've heard me quote Matthew 7:21 time and time again. And it's imperative. It's crucial because Jesus said there, the Sermon on the Mount. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? He began with the Beatitudes, and the Sermon on the Mount ended, and coming toward the end of the sermon was Matthew 7:21, where Jesus said, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is doing the will of my Father who is in heaven." It is imperative to do the will of God. Now look with me in your Bibles, if you would turn there to Matthew. Well, look here at Matthew chapter 12. Look back at verse 50 again. Because Jesus is speaking to this man and these people who were there. "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, these are my brothers and sisters and also my mother." And this is the key to relationships. Think about what Jesus was saying. Here was his mother And here was his brothers there, and it's only assumed he added sisters there too. The sisters probably were not there at that time. But here, his mother, some religions would really holler at this because he was saying it was more important to do the will of the Father than to be in association with his mother. But here he is declaring that to do the will of God, that makes the one, that makes the relationship. And that's what is all important in this. It is the heart and the key to the relationship with Christ, and it's what joins the head to the heart and the heart for God, as we've seen there. So it is imperative to do the will of God. The second point is the importance of doing the will of God. Matthew chapter 12, verses 40 and 49. It's all important because what Christ declared in verse 49 and verse 50. He declared, "Behold, my mother and my brothers," as he pointed to those who were there in the room with him. There were his disciples that he had handpicked, he had hand chosen. There were the others who had come to listen and to hear what he had to say and what was going on there. So it was a great declaration of Jesus Christ as he declared what it meant to really know God and to walk with him and what the truth is really all about. It is the revelation of relationships there. And it is to do the will of the Father. That is the revelation of a relationship with God. To do the will of the Father. And so then, look with me in your Bibles at Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Turn there with me in your Bibles, or look on the screen up above. And here it is. Paul says in the beginning of this epistle to the churches of Galatia, he says, "Paul, an apostle," that's from Paul, an apostle, that's how they begin their epistles, "not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead." That's how Paul got to be an apostle. Now look at verse 2. "And all the brothers and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." Now that's the salutation to this letter. Now look at verse 4. "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." Now look just again at verse 4 in the Amplified Version. "Who gave," or yielded himself up, "to atone for our sins, and to save and to sanctify us, in order to rescue and deliver us from this present wicked age and world order, in accordance with the will and the purpose and the plan of our God and Father." So you see, it is at the heart. It is important that you and I have at the heart and the center of the being of our Christian lives. We say we are Christians. It is the will of God that is to be produced in our lives. And it's the will of God, not as we say the will of God is, but as God produces it in and through us. And maybe in days ahead we can come and look at the scriptures. And by the way, we're having a message tonight, following up from last Sunday night, on the will of God, R.C. Sproul, what he shared there. So the redemptive work of Christ was the will of God. But the declaring of the truth of the redemptive work of Christ is what brings men and women to the end of themselves and bring them to the position where they see the need of mercy and grace from God the Father, and they call upon him and ask then for the forgiveness of sins and ask then for the salvation of God to become real into their own lives and into their own hearts. So it is the redemptive work of Christ to deliver us from this evil world that we live in. So why is it important to do the will of God? Because it is the will of God that brought us to Christ, that brought us to God through Christ. And it is the will of God that keeps us in our relationship as we live day by day and walk day by day in our daily lives. Look with me in your Bibles at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul the Apostle writing here, coming to the end of this epistle, and he's talking about different ones that were with him, and he greeted others that was there. But look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. And notice what Paul says there to Epaphras, "Who is one of you, a servant of Christ. He salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers." There's this one Epaphras who labored for the people that were there by his prayers. And that's one way we do the work of the ministry, in deep prayer, in solid prayer, in dedicated prayer. And this is what Epaphras was doing for the church there, the believers there at Colossae. Now notice the rest of that verse. "So that you may stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. Do you see what Paul is saying? Do you see the theme in all of the Word of God? But here in the Gospels and also in the writings of Paul and Peter and the others that were there, it is the will of God. The reality of the Christian life centers in and around the will of God. It is not possible to be a Christian and not do the will of God. It is not possible. It's not my opinion. That's the Word of God. And we've read the Gospels and we've read the epistles of Paul. We've read the Scriptures. And it is God saying to us that His will is all important. His word, His will is imperative. Now look with me, if you will, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. Turn with me there in your Bibles. The third point is there is the joy of embracing the will of God. That's the title, the theme of this message this morning. Embrace the will of God. This is the compulsing or the compelling of God's people to seek and to procure the will of God in their lives. And what all ways that means. But there's joy in doing that. It's not a burden. It's not an imprisonment. It's not a bondage. You say, well, if I do that, then I can't do these other things that I want to do in my life. If that's in your heart, you need to search your heart and see where you really stand with God. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, what? Doing the will of God from the heart. The will of God comes from the heart. And when we do it from the heart, then joy unspeakable is there. Look with me in your Bibles at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 4 verses 2 and 3. He says in verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul saying to the Thessalonian church, this is what we gave to you by commandment. And verse 3 tells it like it is. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Once we are born again by the Spirit of God, truly born again, we are born again for the purpose of God, of Christ sanctifying or setting apart our life, making our life holy unto God. And that is a message that's missing from the church today. We do all things, justify a lot of things in this world, in this life today, in the name of Christianity. But we are to be set apart. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And he goes to list other things in the passage after that. Read that whole chapter, read that whole epistle today or this week, if you want to really get that. This is the will of God, even our sanctification. God desires to set you and me apart from the ways of this world and the ways of this life. And then the last verse look at is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. There is a promise with doing the will of God. And the world passes away, John says, and the lust of it passes away. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. That's a promise. That is a promise to do the will of God and to do it utterly, to do it totally, and to do it completely. So it is the will of God for our lives. I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes as we come this morning before Him. Because that's the question today. Does your Christian faith entail, procure doing the will of God? Paul the Apostle told the church at Corinth to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And as the Bible defines the faith, it is those who forsake all to follow Jesus. It is those who come to do the will of God once they realize and understand that they're lost in their sins and that God delivers and forgives. And when salvation comes to the human heart, it's not about me being a Christian and going my own way and doing my own will. But it's about doing the will of the Father. I don't have time to get in depth, but I want to read one of the points from George Mueller, who was a man, a preacher there in England, who was responsible for starting up many orphanages and back in the 1800s. And here's what he says about the will of God in his life. And it's just something, a thought for us to keep this morning as we think about these things. He says, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people generally is just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what his will is. You see, we have to seek his will in order to know his will, in order to do his will. This morning, what has God spoken to you? What has he said to your heart about your faith? What has he revealed to your heart a need? What is there in your life that honors God and honors Christ? This morning, as we come to this time of invitation, I ask if you're here today in this place, do you know that if you died today, that you would stand before God a forgiven sinner, a forgiven person? That is the redemptive will of God for your life. If you do not know Him, that is the will of God for your life. That you would come to Him and you would come to know Him through faith in Jesus Christ, through the gospel, the truth of the gospel that's there. Seeing yourself as a sinner who is dying and condemned, but seeing yourself as a recipient of God's mercy and grace so that God might bestow His love upon you and that you might bestow God's love upon others. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? If you do not know for certain this day where you would spend eternity, then God's will for you is to know Him and to come to Him by repentance and faith. So you come to Him today. If you're here and you say, I know that I know Him. I know that I'm forgiven. I'm one of His children. Then I ask you, are you doing His will? Are you seeking His will? Is His will for your life at the heart of all that you do? You have to answer that question for yourself. Examine your heart and your life and be honest with God. In a moment, we're going to stand, sing a hymn of invitation. I'll be standing down at the front. If you will come today, come to Christ, come to God. Through repentance and faith, God will hear you. He promises to give you the forgiveness of your sins and give you the gift of eternal life. If you're here today and you say, I really don't do the will of God in my life, then the altar is open for you. God is just waiting. He's bidding you. He's anxious for you to come and just humble yourself before Him and start seeking Him and seeking to do His will. Father, in this place today, we thank You for this time of invitation, for Your Word, for the testimonies given here today. And Father, that all of this works together, that Your perfect will might be accomplished. And we pray that You'll bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.